Hi, I'm Brittany Luce, and welcome to Sampler. Just kidding, I'm not Brittany Luce. I'm Sara Abdurrahman.
Yes, my producer, whose name I often mispronounce as Sarah Abdurrahman.
Not mispronounced, but pronounced to the best of your ability.
Exactly.
It's a different language.
It's a sad
Your tongue
American
is not accustomed.
Approximation. Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm sitting in host chair today because we are having a very special listener-submitted episode of Sampler. And in order to maintain that element of surprise for the clips that I'm going to be playing for Brittany today, I had to bring them to her.
Yes.
So this is the first time you're going to be hearing the clips that our listeners submitted of their favorite comedy moments in podcasts.
I'm so ready.
So, as you guys have probably guessed, if you've ever listened to Sampler before, there might be some explicit language and themes in this episode. So, proceed with caution and maybe pop in some earbuds if there are kids around.
Sounds good.
Let's get started.
Let's get started.
We had a comedy moments show a few months ago with PJ and Alex. They're the hosts of fellow Gimlet show Reply All.
Yes.
So, Brittany, what do you remember from the last time we sampled comedy?
Alex and PJ play me a bunch of stuff. And the thing that I liked the most was the prank calls, which was like so inane and so dumb. And it was like still,
From the bone zone.
Still, if I listen to that clip now, I will pee on myself, like laughing.
That's for Tony Rice again.
Yeah, yeah.
And Edward Jones.
Yes, hi. Can I speak with Tony Rice, please?
There is nobody who works here by that name.
That's odd, because
you just got pranked!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you
This is the Prank Patrol on 103.7, today's hottest country.
Oh, yeah.
Did we fool you?
No.
And we put a call out to our listeners.
Yeah.
To see if they could also get you to laugh.
I'm really excited to see what all these listeners have come up with.
They got some good stuff, and it's a variety. So I hope you will enjoy this variety show of Sampler. So let's get into the first clip. But first, let me ask, did you ever do any sort of debate in school?
I have had to participate in debates before.
Were you in a debate club?
No, I wasn't in a debate club. I think I had to do it either in, like, I definitely think I had to do it in, like, a history or social studies class. Mm. Oh, I remember one was, like, should women be allowed to serve in the military or, like, the front lines of the military?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I came out in a draw by taking the position that no one should serve in the military. When I was a senior in high school, I was like, women shouldn't be serving on the front lines of the military because no one should. But I didn't lose.
Do you enjoy debating?
I literally couldn't stop if I wanted to.
But like debating with debate rules.
Debating with debate rules? That's hard. That's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
I just prefer to just, you know, shoot from the hip and just say something mean.
So you like to argue with people?
I love to argue with
but
people.
That's not professional debating.
No, I am okay. Not a professional debater. Okay. No.
Have you ever heard a debate in podcast form?
No, I've never heard a debate in podcast form.
This came from a listener of ours, David Hart.
Uh-huh.
And let him introduce the show.
One comedy podcast I'm completely obsessed with is The Great Debates, where two comedy writers debate topics using high school debate rules. Recent topics have included the Gin Blossoms are in the top 1% of artists of all time, and there are fewer than 45 old movies worth watching. Each episode includes a micro debate and a main event, with their friend Medina serving as an impartial or somewhat impartial moderator. The guys get so passionate about the topics that it's hard not to find yourself yelling at your phone for them to bring up a certain argument or to counter a certain argument.
I'd be really curious to hear the episode where somebody had to argue that the Gin Blossoms were in the top 1% of artists of all time.
Why?
Because Hey Jealousy is like the only song of theirs that I know, and it's not that good. Like, what the hell? Oh my God, like, what kind of sorry person? The only way that that actually, like, I really like the idea for the show. The only way it could be better is if they also had to drink. That would be a really good way to up the ante. But I'm definitely interested to hear whatever clip it is that David sent.
Well, the clip that he sent is none of the ones that he brought up in his description.
I love it.
It's a whole other one.
I love it. Surprise.
Okay. So first, I'll let you hear the debate topic. Sound good?
I'm ready.
Let's do a micro debate. I've got a topic for you. The topic is Barack Obama makes a better omelet than Michelle Obama.
So before we get to the actual debate, Brittany, which side are you on?
I am going to go with Barack.
You want to give me a reason?
Okay, so this is like a terrible reason. Barack and my dad don't look completely dissimilar. There's like, they have a lot of physical traits in common. And growing up, my dad always made breakfast on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So I have like a strong association with my dad making eggs, which he's really great at. Uh-huh. So this is like very, like, I feel like SAT analogies.
Does he make better omelets than your mom?
That's the thing. So this is the thing. Oh my God, I'm going to get in trouble for this. But the few times that my dad didn't make breakfast and my mom did, I was like, whoa, this is so good. Because overall, my mom is really, like, she's just really good at cooking and my dad is not so great at it.
Like, your dad's good at breakfast. Your mom's good at everything.
My mom's good at everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, when my mom would make breakfast, it was, like, super extra delicious. Mm-hmm. But yes, I'm still going to, like, my father honestly makes the best scrambled eggs. And I feel like in my gut, first hot take, it's going to be Brock.
Okay, let's hear it.
Healy, let's have you take the pro as per usual. 3 minutes on the clock.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Now, of course, we all know that Barack Obama is the president, and so we think of him as like the alpha kind of guy in their relationship, but the career of Michelle Obama is extraordinary. This is a tough, hard-charging woman, and I think she doesn't waste a lot of time making omelets. That's not her scene. She was rising from Princeton. She went to law school. She was an attorney. She's a very powerful, intense woman. I don't think she got there by diddling around with omelets. Now, you see Obama, and he does have the kind of fun, loosey-goosey, kind of friendly dad attitude. So I think on a Saturday morning, he's the guy waking up early, making the omelets for Sasha and Malia. He has some fun with it, jokes around.
You're so wrong. Sometimes, for better or worse, gender roles that we would prefer to no longer be societal norms are still the norms in a household, especially where people are of a certain generation. And I would say that this generation, the Robinson-Obama family, dates back to a time when women cooked more often.
Crazy. Michelle Obama has been breaking norms her whole life. That's her whole deal.
It's true, but that doesn't mean that...
If anything, she doesn't make omelets just so she doesn't live up to traditional gender norms, just to make a point.
No, I think that's absurd, because...
What, more so, if we're talking about traditional gender roles, like, and we're really getting real,
let me talk.
Chefs, the greatest French chefs are all men. That's who's excellent at making omelets.
That's true, but an omelet is a staple food that you make for yourself or your children.
Making a good omelet is one of the hardest things a chef can do.
Sometimes the obvious things are the things we need to address. Barack Obama has been busier than Michelle Obama for the last years. And therefore, Michelle has had more time to practice her omelet-making skills. She probably had better skills to begin with, dating back to before Barack started seeking office. This is a classic, don't overthink it. We have no possible way of fucking knowing, but chances are Michelle Obama makes a better omelet than Barack Obama.
I think when we see the public expressions of their marriages, what is very clear is that Barack and Michelle, neither one of them tolerates, no matter how successful Barack is or how busy he is, they don't tolerate falling into these traditional norms. I think he makes a point.
Yeah, the timer went off.
Medina, what did you think?
You know, I liked where you were going at the outset there.
Who?
Steve.
But
then it just got into a big morass.
Wow.
It did?
I don't know. No winner. Perhaps no winner.
What do you think? No Who winner. Makes the better omelet, Michelle and Barack?
I like the idea that Barack makes the better
Of course,
though.
That's the sexier argument, but that doesn't mean that it's the right one.
I think that is true. But I also
like,
picture,
Dave, I like that you took a stand on traditional gender roles as being like sort of like a
Yeah,
thing.
They were born in the 60s. Like, they're more likely to adhere to those norms than we are, than a married couple who gets married in their 20s in this decade.
I mean, the image of Barack being the kind of like loosey-goosey Saturday morning guy, great.
I mean, I think the whole point of Michelle Obama's career has been like, I'm not going to be the one making the omelets, okay? I'm going to break down all those
hairs. I wonder
maybe
if that's
her
true
career, but is that true at
How
home?
About, didn't
really
she sponsor the garden in the White House, the
that's
vegetable
right.
garden?
That's right, Healy. That's what I should have mentioned. She's Ooh. All about nutrition.
Yeah.
She has welcomed the kitchen as her sphere of, as her domain, if you will.
How about Bill and Hillary, I say who all the, is that's better great. At omelet making?
I don't think either of them have any idea what the first thing you do is when you make an omelet.
No, I think Bill can make a mean omelet. I'm
oh,
sure.
I like. Well, now he's
how many
a vegan,
times
right?
do you think Bill's gotten laid because of his omelet making?
He's
skills?
Never he made an need omelet. To,
of course,
are you
he has.
Me?
He doesn't need to make an omelet to get laid.
You know what? You know what he does? Here's Bill's game. The next morning, he's like, "Come on downstairs, let me make you an omelet." And he brings the woman downstairs, and then before you know it, she's making the omelet.
Yes. Okay.
He's
that's
never
great.
Finished
that's
making the omelet.
I really like that.
Yeah?
Yes.
What'd you like about it?
Because I could see it when they talked about like Barack Obama being the kind of loosey-goosey dad, like make like omelets, like get up early and do that and give them to Sasha and Malia. I'm like, yes, I
That's
see it.
That's almost what your argument was.
Yes.
You were like, my dad is him.
Exactly. I'm still going to stick with my Barack answer. Like, I still do think it's Barack mm-hmm. who makes the better omelet, but I could see, you know, as mom in chief, which is what Michelle refers to herself as a lot. Mm-hmm. And also with like her White House garden mm-hmm. and her emphasis on like healthy eating and stuff like that, I could see how she may have surpassed him in the mm-hmm. omelet making department. So that was a really tough argument. He totally missed his chance, though, mm-hmm. by mm-hmm. not mentioning Michelle Obama's obsession and support of nutrition.
Yeah, they didn't get to that until after the debate.
So first of all, I know a lot about the Obamas. That's the number one thing. In knowing a lot about them, I know that like Barack is a little bit more prone to like being laid back and improvisational. Mm-hmm. And that Michelle is a little bit more like, you know, she likes to try it before she buys, right? Mm-hmm. She doesn't like to just jump into things. Mm-hmm. And I think that like there is like, a little bit of a like cooking. Especially eggs, I think a lot of people don't realize eggs are supposed to be cooked for a long time on a low temperature. And that requires a like, you know, a skilled hand, do you know what I'm saying? A little bit of like intuition, which it sounds like Barack mm-hmm. may be more inclined to lean on. Mm-hmm. I've thought about this like way more intensely yeah. than I ever thought that I would. But I really believe this now.
So thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
What's next?
I'm dying to know.
This next one is going to be different, but I think it was partially inspired by the last Sampler Comedy episode.
I'm sitting here like, what could it be? What could it be?
Because it combines, you know, a few of the things that you liked about that episode. Mm-hmm. The idea of a phone call.
Love it.
The idea of a soundboard.
Love that.
So let me allow our listener, Ross Llewellyn, mm-hmm. I'm hoping I'm saying his name right, to introduce the show.
I really enjoy a podcast called Cool Games Inc., which is hosted by two guys, Griffin and Nick, who work at the video game website Polygon.
Okay, so let me try to explain this podcast because it is kind of unique. Each week, the hosts, Griffin and Nick, they imagine what a video game would look like based on suggestions from their listeners, okay? So people send them stuff uh-huh. and they don't actually like design the game physically, but they just talk about it.
Oh, it's like hypothetical.
Exactly. So like in the first episode of the podcast, for example, one of their listeners suggested that they make a video game where the character that you're playing works in a fast food restaurant. Uh-huh. And the game's objective is that you are proving to seniors that this is what they actually ordered. So, like, if the objective of Super Mario Brothers is to save the princess,
yeah,
the objective of this game is to prove to seniors that you got their order right. So they figure out what this game would look like, what the obstacles would be,
yeah.
What the gameplay would be, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So in the episode before the one we are about to hear, one of their listeners suggested they design a game based on the movie Austin Powers. Okay.
Why? But okay.
Why not?
Why not?
So another thing that they do is that at the beginning of each episode, they sort of like review the game that they created in the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're about to hear is the hosts trying to evaluate the Austin Powers game. And then they bring in a very special guest.
Hey, let me get in the way of what you're doing right now and say that I think it would be irresponsible to report on the fungible success or failure of Austin Powers.
Uh-huh.
Because I actually was not able to get Mike Myers on the horn to get him involved on the project.
Okay.
Until just this very moment. I've actually got him on the Skype call right now. So hey, Mike, you there?
Hey.
You sound a little quiet, Mike. You speak up?
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Well, we know who you...
Austin Powers.
Oh, you're doing it in character.
Okay, well, that's fine.
You're going to do the whole bit in...
My name is Richie Cunningham.
Okay. You're doing a whole, like, sort of slate of impressions here. Mike, I was wondering if you got our, sort of our game design document that we sent your way. Wow.
Enthusiastic.
Yeah, very excited about this.
Yes.
Very excited about this project.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Mike, are you like I don't want to beat around the bush here. Are you willing to lend your likeness, your vocal talents, all of that to the Austin Powers MMORPG?
Come again.
That stands for massively multiplayer online role playing game, and we're basically let me put it in terms that I think little Mike Myers can understand. We're gonna make a computer game for you.
Who are you?
Oh, sorry, I didn't introduce myself. I'm Nick Robinson. I'm the senior financial officer for Cool Games Incorporated. Sorry?
Who sent you?
Well, we spoke to your management and they kind of put us in contact with you. So it was, I feel like the you're doing the funny, like the Austin Powers bit, and it's... Mike, I do appreciate that you, because you are very enthusiastic about the project, clearly,
yes.
And it's... Yes, yes. And it's exciting. But if you could actually, because we love that you can still roll right into that character and just seamlessly slip into it, and it's going to be great later on down the road, but while we're still in the sort of the negotiation phase, if you wouldn't mind just being Mike...
Shut your take off. Okay.
All right. Well, you know what, Mike? We actually do have your agent's number, so we'll actually just get in touch with him, and I think we'll work out the rest of this.
No.
How many of you are there, by the way, I'm wondering?
Two. My name is Austin. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks, Austins, for both of your time. This has been a very productive...
Yes, please.
Productive...
Do I make you horny, baby? Do I make you horny, baby?
It's a little inappropriate for business.
Yeah! Damn it. Quirky! I didn't like the idea of not getting a choice.
Okay. I'm gonna hang up now. Mike, it's been a pleasure. Mike, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike.
I've never seen my bits and pieces are still working.
It looks like the Skype call got disconnected.
Yeah, it sounded like he was on a pretty low, like, sub 3G connection. Shit, I'm so embarrassed. I'm sorry, Mike. I thought you were gone.
Who had an Austin Powers soundboard in 2016? Like, that movie came out when I was, like, in middle school. Where did they find this?
Who knows? The internet?
Oh, my God. I knew I was in for a treat when he was like, I wasn't able to get Mike Myers on the phone until right now. He's on Skype. I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be a hot-ass mess. That was great.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a middle child, so I love just irritating people as much as possible and just being annoying and just, like, telling people that they can't do things or can't have things or saying no to things. If someone needs me to do something, I love to say no. I don't mean it. I'll take it back. I mean, I just want to say no just so I can watch them be irritated. Like, I'm that type of pain in the ass.
That has not been my experience with you, Brittany.
Well, because, like, you know, I mean, like, this is show business here.
I don't want anybody to think that you're that kind of host.
Yeah, that's a good point. This is in my regular life. This is outside of here.
Right, right. Then you go home and irritate everybody.
Exactly. I go home and I irritate the shit out of everybody in my life. Mm-hmm. And I truly, deeply wish that I could use a soundboard of things that I say. Mm-hmm. Not even things that, like, a famous character. I would love to use a soundboard of myself. Mm-hmm. To talk to other people that are on the phone. Also, like, how many phrases did they have on hand?
Right? Like, it was like, how are they going to have a conversation? It's going to be like, oh, behave, and like one other phrase. But they had a lot of phrases.
They got far.
Yeah.
They genuinely got far.
Yeah.
And also, might I add, the phrases were well selected.
Mm-hmm.
Well timed.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing.
And the other guy reacting to them?
Yes. I actually really especially enjoyed when he asked how many of them there were and he said two. Oh my God. I was like, oh God. I'm glad that you acknowledged the fact that you had some severe echoing issues and just said there were two of you.
Mm-hmm.
Warmed my heart. And also, especially when it kind of just devolved into this tailspin of just echo and static and just mess. I loved it.
So that was a good choice by Ross.
Yeah, no, go Ross. That was a good choice.
Okay, Brittany, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, I will play you more submissions from our listeners.
Yes!
Stay tuned. Welcome back to Sampler. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I have stolen the host mic for today's episode so I could play Brittany funny podcast moments submitted by you, our listeners.
I genuinely have really enjoyed the clips I've heard so far.
Well, let's hope that it ends on a high note because I've got one more show to bring you.
Just one more clip?
I've got one more show. Maybe if you like it, I'll play you two clips.
Oh my God.
Who knows?
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So this next suggestion came to us from a listener by the name of Matt Young.
Mm-hmm.
And I will let him explain what it is.
I'm ready.
The podcast is called Harmontown.
It is a live show done weekly starring Dan Harmon, along with his comptroller, Jeff Davis, and game master, Spencer Crittenden. It's live, but it is completely made up on the spot by Dan. He just gets up on stage and starts talking and sees what happens. And one of the things that Dan does to fill the time in these shows is that he does these amazing improvised freestyle rap songs. And this episode, the episode that I want to submit, has, in my opinion, the two best Dan Harmon freestyle rap songs that have been on the show, period.
Whenever I hear about people who are not professionals rapping, I'm already like, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. So I'm very eager to hear this. I feel like it could be really good or really terrible. In which case, though, because it's a comedy podcast, if it's really terrible, then that could be really good.
All right, so I'll play you one, and we'll see how you feel after that.
Okay.
When you move your body to the beat, when you see everybody in the street, up, bucket, bucket.
Yo. My name is MC John. I'm here to mow the lawn. I'd like to use a rake, but that grass will not take. I gotta get up on the riding mower. So faster, don't go slower. Mow around the trees and yard. I fucked your mama hard.
I want to see you next Tuesday night. Fight.
Yeah, don't get in a fight, baby.
Cause you are my family and I love you. Say what? I won't steal your socks or your shoes. Family. Cause you got what I need.
Good. That was a good one. That was a good song.
I like the fascinating character of DJ John.
I'm here to mow the lawn.
DJ John was a refreshing departure from the profane evolution of rap. He was back to like a traditional like peas and carrots kind of rap, but he right at the end he let you know he's fucking your mom, which makes sense because he listening to him I don't think he knew that much about lawn care.
Okay, so I definitely want to hear another. Oh my God, I love when people make up songs. It happens to me a lot. I don't make up the songs. My boyfriend makes up a lot of songs about everything constantly.
Like about what's happening in front of him at that moment.
What's happening in front of him that moment, where we're going, what we're doing, what he feels like eating, what happened yesterday.
I'm always really impressed when people are freestyling, whether it's to be funny or not, but yeah. Especially to be funny because when you're being silly about it, it's so much easier to just laugh and stop.
Yeah.
But if you're being silly about it and you just keep going.
Yeah.
Like he went through to the end of the instrumental that was being played.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the beginning, and he knew he was totally screwed too, because it's like as soon as he said water, it's like, what rhymes with water? Like he just had to immediately hit daughter.
Yeah.
And he's like, be there, daughter. And it's like, then you kind of have to keep going. But I mean, he like committed. He saw it through.
Yeah. Commitment is so important to having something be funny.
Yeah. Because like commitment means that you're taking it kind of seriously in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're going to see the joke through. You're going to give it what it deserves. You're going to give it what you think the audience deserves. And like that pays off on like the listener's end. That pays off on the person who hears the joke. But God, that was so terrible. That was a terrible song, but that was so funny.
As soon as you started laughing as soon as the instrumental came in.
Because first of all, the instrumental is ridiculous. That song is ridiculous.
What was so ridiculous about it?
So cheesy. It was so corny. It's like, I haven't heard like just a backing track like that. I think that things like that were popular in the years preceding my birth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't. It sounds like a like rejected upbeat Luther Vandross track. Do you know what I'm saying? Rejected.
Well, maybe I should play this next clip for you. Because the listener couldn't decide which one he liked better. Matt Young, the listener that sent this into us. And I couldn't decide which one I thought you would like better.
Mm-hmm.
And since you enjoyed that one, maybe we can hear another one.
Let's try another.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. About time. It's about time. It's about that time. Wait, what time is it? It's about that time. I have a slow watch. I wanna know what time it is. Could you tell me what time it is? I got an appointment coming up tomorrow. We've been having a sweet old time, but I gotta know what time it is. Timekeeper, timekeeper's like a Swiss clock tonight. We've been going low, long, data.
to the break of the dong dong, baby, baby.
Yo, what'd you say?
No, don't fuck with me.
I'm just trying to know what you're saying. Don't, I'm not even trying to play it. Just gotta know what time it is.
Ding dong, dee doo, dee doo, bling dong.
See, that's gibberish. I don't know why I work with you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Why you all fighting? Oh, shit. It's my mom.
Ding, ding, a boom, dong, ding.
Why you all down here fighting? Sitting in my basement all nighting? What time is it?
That's what I'm asking. Ding dong, diggaloo, dang dong.
I set the grandfather clock on the wall. I'm not getting any sleep at all. Your father and I got work in the morning.
Ding dang a boom dong ding ding morning.
That's cheating. Can't you speak gibberish, man?
Dibby dop doop dibba doo.
Ah, shit. I'm going to bed.
Baby, what was that?
Those kids down in the basement.
Oh, why are they always gonna be like that? Why are they always waking up like that? Don't these motherfuckers get any sleep?
I don't know, baby. What time you keep?
2:45.
The dad knew. The dad knew what time it was. The whole time. Thanks, guys. Thanks. There's a whole, but I mean, I'm like.
This is like a whole like Sesame Street of characters you've got going on. I think we should explore that town a little bit more. I'd like to know everybody that lives in that building, the whole block.
Yeah.
So I think if I had to choose between the two of them, I do like the first one better than the second one, mm-hmm. but. I noticed a couple of things listening to another song. Mm. These are more so R&B songs and mm-hmm. rap songs.
Yeah.
There's definitely more singing. And also, I actually really appreciated the call out in that last clip where the one guy called the other guy out and he was like, that's cheating. You can't just speak gibberish. Like, you need to actually rhyme. I was like, yo, you really called him out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I agreed. I was like, you do need to be, like, this guy is really committing to rhyming. You need to commit to rhyming as well. But I also was like, wow.
I think
out.
It was all the same person.
Wait, they were all him?
Yeah, they were all Dan Harmon.
He does all of it?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Wait, that's completely.
Does that change it?
Yeah, I mean, that changes everything. He argued with himself?
Yeah.
He played both kids in the basement.
And the parents.
And the parents. Wow. Seriously? That's crazy. He argued with himself, Sarah.
Yeah.
He argued with himself. He's like, I don't like working with you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah.
How did he know?
He's a comic genius.
I think he's actually a pretty fine musician, if you ask me. It's actually, it reminds me, like, the way that he, like, moved the story forward and played all the different characters in this last song reminded me a lot of R. Kelly Trapped in the Closet. Because R. Kelly also saying things that move the plot forward
mm-hmm.
and played every single character. That's just the first thing that came to my mind. I don't even like R. Kelly. But, like, I mean, this was fairly operatic.
Yeah, it was.
There were
a lot of people. There was tension.
There's a goal.
Mm-hmm.
There's a super objective. Mm-hmm. Everybody was just trying to find out the time.
I like how he took one of the tropes that you'd hear in that style of music mm-hmm. of, like, asking what time it is.
Yeah.
And making the whole song about what time it is.
But also, like, he could have turned that into, like, a whole different song. Where it's like, oh, it's about that time. It's time to get it cracking. It's time to start partying. It's time to make love or whatever they say in songs like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no, it's about that time. But what time is it exactly? Like, what time is it precisely? I would love to hear an extended cut of that song because I would like to know what happened. Like, I would like to know if there was any further conversation past that. Like, oh, these kids are in our basement messing around. do we need to do something about that? How old are these people?
And do you think R. Kelly was waiting for them to go to sleep so he could get out of the closet?
I mean, honestly, the way that story was going, it's likely. It's likely.
Thank you to all of our listeners. Oh, my God. Such funny stuff.
No, seriously, thank you to all of our listeners for sending really hilarious clips. I am really impressed by the variety that you guys came up with.
Yeah. I feel like we're still barely scratching the surface, though.
Oh, I agree. I was just going to say, like, I just want more submissions from you guys, period. Like, I loved hearing from people in their own voices why they thought that something was funny.
Yeah, it was great. We want more.
Yes.
More comedy, more everything. But listeners, let's make this a regular feature. Like, let's try to make Brittany laugh. So send us your funny podcast moments, and I will play them for Brittany on the air. This is my challenge to all of you.
Yes, I like that because, like, you know, there's the obvious way you guys could tickle me. Mm-hmm. But I think the clips is better, and it helps me keep my breath. I prefer listening to funny clips to being tickled, so please keep them coming.
You heard that, guys. If you don't send in comedy clips, Brittany's just going to get tickled on air for an hour. And she won't be able to breathe, so that's not optimal. No,
we don't want that.
Okay, guys, to recap the clips we've heard on today's show, the Obama omelet debate came from The Great Debates. The exclusive interview with Mike Myers was from Cool Games, Inc. And the freestyles about family and the elusiveness of time were from the show Harmontown.
This episode was produced by Rose Reed, Sarah Abdurrahman, and myself with help from Kate Parkinson Morgan. It was edited by Annie Rose Strasser. Our theme music was made by Mike Avellian, and our ad music was made by Mark Phillips. Additional music in the show was by Bobby Lord. The show was mixed by Matthew Bull. Sampler is a production of Gimlet Media.